it was pretty amazing. I mean, the first time you go in there and you actually get a really close look at it, you can start seeing all these little fine gears in it. And just to think that, first, that it actually survived all these thousands of years, and then that they were able to make something this complex, you know, 2,000 years ago.
On this edition of PodTech Weekly News Magazine, Ancient Computers from Early Civilization. No, we're not talking about Battlestar Galactica. Also, the sound of when the worlds of video gaming and online auctions collide. I'm Jason Lopez, and this is PodTech News Weekly for Saturday, December 2nd, 2006. The history of the modern computer began not so long ago. A check of Wikipedia shows that it started in 1801 with the invention of the punch card on looms to make patterns and textiles. But like all things modern, there are connections to be found with our culture and that of ancient Greece, even when it comes to forms of computing, which PodTech's Catherine Girardot found in her research for this story.
Technology originally developed for improving 3D graphics is being used to unlock scientific secrets of the ancient world. An article published Thursday in the British science journal Nature reveals the inner workings of an astronomical device built in ancient Greece around 80 BC. The device, called the Antikythera mechanism, was found on a shipwreck off the Greek island of Antikythera by sponge divers in 1901. Scientists think the device was used to calculate or predict movement of the sun and moon for agricultural purposes or religious rituals. The Nature article's findings are based, in part, on the research of scientists from Hewlett-Packard's lab who traveled to Athens to literally shine a light on the device, which is being dubbed the world's oldest computer. HP is no stranger to the past. It's credited as Silicon Valley's first tech company, and developed some of the earliest PCs back in the 1960s. But with the Antikythera project, the company's 21st century technology is being used to glimpse a bit farther back into the past than that. Dan Gelb is one of two HP senior research scientists who used reflectance imaging to shine light on the bronze plates, gears, and ancient inscriptions of the shipwrecked device. He joined me by phone from his office in Palo Alto. I asked Dan why he and his colleague Tom Maltzbender developed reflectance imaging.
Frequently in computer graphics, if you want to represent something virtually, you take a photograph of it. But the problem with a single photograph is it captures the object under the lighting conditions of that single photograph. And if you have like virtual light sources that you move around, then the shadows and things like that in your photograph don't change, so things look very unnatural. So we developed a technique that allows you to photograph an object under multiple lighting directions.
Dan and his colleague realized their computer graphics enhancement tool might have other uses. Archaeologists from the Antikythera project in Greece contacted them in hopes the HP method might help them bring out surface detail of the object they hadn't previously been able to see.
For the Antikythera object, we use 50 different light sources, and then we have a compact representation that allows you to kind of virtually relight the image.
What did the lighting help archaeologists see that they hadn't been able to see before?
You know, back when it was made a couple of thousand years ago, these were clean, you know, flat sheets of bronze where they'd kind of chiseled or, you know, indented the characters into it. But since it was sitting at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea for a couple thousand years, it got very corroded and weathered. Our technique allows you to, for example, emphasize the indentations, the variations on the surface, rather than emphasizing the color of the object, which helps bring out the details.
Since the device was recovered in 1901, researchers have been able to guess at some of its functions. The mechanism had many gears on it with different teeth counts, which showed historians it was some form of calculator. But the reflectance imaging done by the HP scientists and the work of a British team using three-dimensional X-ray tomography provided scholars with a missing link. Dan Gelb.
A lot of the inscriptions are actually kind of an instruction book for the device, so they didn't have a very good idea of what a lot of the functionality was. So using our research and some of the X-ray work that was also done last year, they're able to read a lot more of the characters and figure out a few more of the gears, which allowed them to determine that they think the device predicted eclipses of the moon and the sun that wasn't known beforehand.
And what was it like for you looking at these ancient fragments?
It was pretty amazing. I mean, the first time you go in there and you actually get a really close look at it, you can start seeing all these little fine gears in it. And just to think that, first, that it actually survived all these thousands of years of the bottom ocean, and then that they were able to make something this complex, you know, 2,000 years ago.
Think how much earlier the PC might have been invented had this device not been buried for so long.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of things are reinvented over and over again.
Dan Gelb and his colleague at HP's research lab, Tom Maltzbender, hold numerous patents, including one for polynomial texture mapping, another name for the lighting technique. While HP gains commercially from the 3D imaging technology, the company's allowing free use of it for academic research. The HP scientists are interested in finding collaborators to develop applications for use in medicine, criminal forensics, and paleontology. But Dan Gelb, while impressed by the scholarly uses of image-based relighting, is also hoping the technology will be embraced by the market for which it was originally intended.
Our technique could easily be used, you know, on your Xbox 360 or whatever your consoles, so game developers could make use of our technique to improve the realism of their games.
Dan Gelb and his colleague Tom Maltzbender, both senior research scientists at Hewlett-Packard Labs, have been using their patented technology, polynomial texture mapping, to help scientists and archaeologists view previously hidden details of ancient artifacts. In Menlo Park, I'm Catherine Girardeau, PodTech News.
This is PodTech News Weekly. I'm Jason Lopez. The laws of supply and demand are often illustrated at online marketplaces like eBay. That's never been more obvious now that Sony's PlayStation 3 is in short supply at retail outlets. Michael Klinger has the tech stat.
Every 6 seconds, that's how often it happens. In a perfect illustration of the most basic law of economics, yep, there goes another one, simple laws of supply and demand have pushed the limited PS3 inventory straight onto online auction site eBay. And there's another. Even lucky shoppers who did manage to get one at a retail store are now seeing heavy incentives to part with their hard-won treasure at an enormous markup. Although resale values do fluctuate, in new research from TerraPeak, the average... Yes. At one point, the average price was just over $1,200. Okay, that was not 6 seconds. Hold on. The PS3 activity on eBay outstrips the auction resale rate of Microsoft's Xbox... Grr! Microsoft's Xbox 360, its first... That's enough. These are simple economic rules we're seeing play out. Okay. There are fewer PS3s for North America than there are willing purchasers. Sony's made about 400,000 available so far for a nation that apparently would happily buy double that number, or more. Xbox's eBay performance was good last year, but the average price was about half of the PS3's average this year. Okay, you win with the tech stat of the week. I'm Michael Klinger.
When it comes to eBay sales, the PS3 may be getting all the headlines, but the Nintendo Wii, thought to be the perfect budget machine, is getting online auction action too. Rio Pacino takes a look.
After their initial launch over 2 weeks ago, the Sony PlayStation 3 and Nintendo Wii were selling on eBay for thousands of dollars over the retail price of $250 for the Wii and $500 or $600 for the PS3. By doing a quick search on both systems, eBay shoppers could find PS3 and Wii bundles, along with ridiculous, albeit interesting, listings of the latest next-gen consoles. But the initial hype of both systems, along with the listing prices on the auction sites, have come down substantially. Will the downward trend continue through Christmas? eBay's Dean of Education, Jim Griff Griffith, breaks down the sales numbers, gives his thoughts on some of the off-the-wall PS3 listings, and reveals whether prices for both consoles will go up or down as we get closer to December 25th. Well, Griff, we're here to talk about the PS3 and the Wii. Both consoles were released. Obviously, a lot of gamers were planning on purchasing the system only to post it online to try to sell it for a profit. And what better site to do that than eBay, right?
Yeah, historically, traditionally, in the last 10 years, eBay is the place to go if you want to sell something that everyone else wants. And everyone wants a PS3 right now, and a Wii.
Right. Give us the numbers as far as the number of listings and how many of these consoles were sold from launch to Black Friday or even Cyber Monday. I hear you brought out numbers for Cyber Monday.
Well, so going up to Cyber Monday, the PS3 actually, pre-launch, there were rules and restrictions about how sellers could do this, but there were items selling pre-launch. So dating back to October 17th, when sellers were allowed to list the item on the site, we've sold 28,233 through eBay at an average price of $1,369 apiece. And for the Wii, since October 19th, we've seen 29,451 units sold on eBay for an average sale price of $427.82.
Now let's go ahead and talk about the highest and lowest sale price for both consoles during pre-sale and launch. Obviously, they've been extremely high, yeah. I mean, heading into launch.
So. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I did see two of these consoles. One for PS3, the highest price that I've seen was $4,500, which was shortly after the sales on the site were allowed. The sales on the site were allowed a month before the launch, so October 17th. That was probably pre-market exuberance.
Right.
Prices actually have gone down from there. I feel sorry for the poor person who, you know, spent that much money. And for the Wii, we've seen the price at around $600 or $700 for the most.
Okay. How about the lowest?
Honestly, I haven't searched for the lowest price. I think that you'd be hard-pressed to find any listing on eBay that's sold for lower than the actual suggested retail price.
How about the 360? Obviously, that's an alternative for the people who weren't able to get a PS3 and a Wii. Were numbers released for the 360 as well during the same time?
Yeah, so from the two-week period from up until Black Friday, from November 12th up until 11/24, there were 331 units sold for the Xbox 360, and they're selling at an average price of $420 each. Now, some of these packages, like the Xbox, in order to make them more attractive to buyers, the sellers are offering a complete package with not just the unit, with a lot of accessories as well. Mm-hmm. That's become a popular activity when it comes to selling a product that is not brand new. So Xboxes are still selling, not as briskly or at the same price as PS3, obviously, but sellers are people who aren't able to either afford or find either of the two hot gaming consoles are settling for what's a perfectly good console, Xbox 360.
Now, Griff, I wanted to bring up something that wasn't in your press release in regards to numbers. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it, was the off-the-wall listings that we've seen. You mentioned, you know, getting attention with the 360.
Yeah, sure.
With the PS3, I've seen some interesting listings online, just searching myself.
What have you found, Rio?
let's talk about one. Was a naked lady offering her PS3 along with pictures of herself naked. What's up with that, man?
Well, so that kind of listing would actually be taken down once it's reported because you're not allowed to sell mature audience material in the games category. So had I seen that, it would have been taken down. I'd imagine that it probably was eventually.
Griff, there was another one that was pretty interesting. It was a PS1 and a PS2 taped together with with duct tape, trying to sell it as a PS3.
Yeah, that also is very funny, and you know our sellers are a clever lot.
Yeah,
and we let sellers push the envelope to an extent, you know, when it comes to humor. Mm-hmm. So in a listing like that, that probably might be left up to run because it's obvious by the picture that it's a humorous listing,
right.
And they are offering an item. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sure that, touche for them, that was a very funny thing.
I wonder if that made it on The Tonight Show. You know, Leno has that I saw it on eBay bit. Have you
seen should that? Have. Yes, I have. And I would hope they would have found it.
Any other outrageous listings you've seen with the PS3 or the Wii?
I haven't seen anything outrageous with the PS3. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you found them.
I
when we're done with this, I'm going to go start looking for them. Because it's actually is... it's one of those categories where people do want to attract attention. So I'm not surprised there would be some kind of, you know, humorous or, you know, wise guy listings. Mm-hmm. But it's a serious business for most of these sellers, and they're interested in selling the product. They're not interested in, you know, grandstanding and making a career for themselves as stand-up comedians.
Griff, you bring up the word serious.
Yeah.
Something that was serious was the person who was actually waiting in line, and I think it was in Connecticut for a PS3. This guy got shot. I don't know if you heard about that, but this guy got shot while waiting in line. This guy ended up getting four PlayStation 3s, and his plan is to put all four of those PlayStation 3s on eBay. This kid apparently does not have any health insurance, and he's planning on using the profits from eBay to pay for his medical bills.
I'm surprised to hear that it actually went to that stage. I guess I shouldn't be, you know, in the frenzy, but in the culture we live in. But, yeah, I guess that's how it's going to work out. You stand in line and get shot, and then you're able to just make enough money to pay for your bills for getting shot.
Right.
Kind of an O. Henry story, don't you think?
Yeah. At this point, I mean, considering that the prices for the PS3 and the Wii are dropping on eBay, I mean, do you think he'll even have enough, make enough?
He better sell them quickly. Yeah, that's another interesting point on these hot gaming consoles is that it's assumed by everyone that the price just keeps going up and up, and it doesn't. From here until the holidays, the price will go up and down depending on the supply that's available and just almost an unmeasurable whim of the marketplace from day to day. Buyers, as sellers get really savvy at doing this and finding the stock outside of eBay and bringing it to eBay, buyers are getting savvy at saying, hey, I'm not just going to jump at this and pay the outrageous price. I'm going to be a smart shopper and wait till prices come down a little bit.
Do you think the price for the Wii and the PS3 will go up or down heading into Christmas?
Well, based what I've seen in past years with hot toys or hot items during the holidays, the prices may plateau or go up a little bit from here until the last week. During the last week, they'll go through the roof. Mm-hmm. There will be no other place that you can buy these, and if you're procrastinating and you're waiting, you're going to be faced with a real competitive marketplace in the last week of the holiday season.
eBay obviously makes money off these listings. I mean, you get a percentage of the sale.
Sure.
With the PS3 and the Wii, thousands of these systems have been sold on eBay. Do you have numbers as far as how much eBay has made from the sales of these two consoles?
No, we don't. And if you want to take the data that we have, you could probably figure it out, yes. Mm-hmm.
Probably a good amount of money there.
You know, it's all part of the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. So the press and I think pop culture is kind of focused in on these very hot items. It's important to remember that at eBay, this kind of frenzy, although concentrated for these two items, there's a lot of buying going on eBay across the whole spectrum of categories.
Did you get a chance to get a Wii or a PS3?
No, and I tell you, I made a point this year. I said, I'm not buying one. I'm not going to do it. Because in the past, I've actually done that. I've been swept up by the hysteria and paid too much. And I don't use them. I'm not a gamer, so I end up giving them away anyway. So if I'm going to do that, I'm going to be a little smarter and wait till after their holiday season. I may buy a Wii when the next group hits the market, which apparently is soon. So Nintendo has mentioned that they're putting several million units back on the market before the end of the holiday season.
Would you take your chances by going to the store or going to your own site?
No, I go to eBay. I don't buy it in stores. I buy on eBay.
Of course, right? Of course.
I got to support these sellers. They work hard.
That was eBay Dean of Education, Jim Griff Griffith. For PodTech News, I'm Rio Pacino.
That's PodTech News Weekly Magazine, produced by Rio Pacino, Catherine Girardeau, and Michael Klinger. I'm Jason Lopez.